the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian. Good morning.
And good morning to you. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Okay, so how are you doing with the time change so far?
So far, so good. Yeah, I was alerting all my friends. A lot of them didn't realize it was happening this Sunday, that you had to move your clocks up an hour. And they were thankful for that, or maybe they weren't, because you lose an hour of sleep. But I adjusted fine. Now, my wife, that's a whole different story. How about you?
It's rough. It's rough. We're getting through it, but so far so good, I guess. So
yes, we ought to be used to it by now. Aren't they supposed to once and for all settle what time it's supposed to be?
I don't know. They say that every year, but we move on. It is what it is. And you know what? Yeah. We're going to have a great day today, great show. But first, let's get started off with prayer, if you don't mind.
Let's do that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God, we thank you for all your gifts to us, especially for the precious gift of your Catholic faith. Grant that our country may be united once again in the unity of the Catholic Church. May the prayers of St. John Ogilvy obtain for us the blessings that we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. John Ogilvy.
Amen.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. Well, before we get started, Damian, we want to say a big thank you to our donors for a very successful pledge drive last week. We have exceeded our goal, and thank you so much for your generosity and your support last week during our spring pledge drive. And special thank you to our food sponsors, right? The Heavenly Donut, Alexander's Highland Market, of course, the many people who work behind the scenes, our volunteers, Karen Cotton, Jeff Blackwell. And just want to say a big thank you to everyone who made this pledge drive so successful. We are beyond grateful, and we are just praising God. So thank you once again. Your support means so much to our radio station. So,
River Road Coffee, True Blue Water, and Court of Candles for helping us out, too, for everybody who donated over $50 or more. Got a set of Court of Candles, Scents of the Saints. That's a beautiful thing. So.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. Well, we have a wonderful lineup for you today. Real quick, Lisa Winter joins us at 7 after with the Magnificat Metairie chapter. They have an upcoming breakfast she's going to be giving us details about. Alan Migliorato talks about raising Catholic teens in today's world at 18 after. 35 after, Dr. Tina Holland with Fran U will update us in Baton Rouge. And in 48 minutes, Mary Jane Zuzulo joins us. She's a Catholic author, and she's talking about her new Lytton book called The Sixth Station. We'll be diving into that station and the meaning of it, especially during this Lent. Damian, we're looking forward to your weather report. How's it looking like today?
Not too bad. It's going to be a little chilly as you step out the door, but it's going to warm up as the day goes on, primarily because we have cloudy skies in and around the whole Gulf South region, and that will continue through tomorrow. Only a very slight chance of rain. A shower may pop up unexpectedly, so we're going to put it at less than 10% as far as chances of rain. East-southeast winds blowing at 5 to 10. High is going to be 71. Tomorrow should be a beauty. High 79, low 59. No rain expected. And again, just get out there, get your clocks adjusted by now, and get used to extra daylight as the evening progresses. Doesn't get dark now till about 7, 7:15.
So, ooh, I love that.
No excuses to say you can't be outdoors.
I know. It threw off our dinner routine. I was so ready, prepared, and then it was 7 o'clock. I'm like, oh my gosh, no one has eaten yet. I'm just looking outside. It threw me off. Anyway, we'll try again today.
Well, good. Well, the gospel's coming up, so let's get the week started off right on Wake Up.
Good Monday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel is taken from John, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. Then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go. Your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. While the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him, "The fever left him yesterday, about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live," and he and his whole household came to believe. Now this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. It is 9 past the hour on Wake Up. Lisa Winter is our first guest today. She is part of the Magnificat Metairie chapter, and today we are talking about their wonderful upcoming breakfast. Lisa, good morning. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. We are happy to talk about a very special guest that we have for our upcoming breakfast. He is Father Ray Hemel. Now, every Magnificat chapter has a spiritual advisor, and he's the spiritual advisor for this mother chapter. He's our very own. And so we are so happy because everyone who's ever come to a breakfast would see him sitting at the head table, hear some of his words of wisdom, his little 3 minutes that he gives before the speaker. But this is a chance to hear his story. Our priests have such amazing stories to share with us and to grow our faith.
They absolutely do. Tell us the date. Where is it? And where can we pick up our tickets?
We are gathering Saturday, March 23rd. It's our same location. It's going to be at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Kenner. It's on Florida Avenue and 33rd. It's that corner there. We have a full breakfast, emphasis on full. So we have scrambled eggs and bacon and biscuits and just sausage, you know, a really good breakfast that everyone can enjoy. And then after the breakfast, he'll be our speaker for about another hour. So it's from 9 to noon. It's not very long, and it's sort of like coming to the end of your Lent before Easter that we would gather.
That's right.
How many spaces do you have, Lisa? I mean, because I know y'all usually pack the house.
Yeah, we tend to have anywhere from 40 to 80, depending on our speakers. Mm-hmm. And he is just such a wonderful, wonderful priest. I mean, of course, we love him. We know him personally. His yes to be with us, he's very Marian-based. He's going through something right now where his parish is being combined with another parish, and he's awaiting to be given a new parish by the Archdiocese. So sometimes people think that priests are leading these wonderful, rosy lives without any difficulties. And I have a feeling that his talk may be about trusting the Lord where he's leading you.
Well, we all have crosses to bear, don't we? And no matter how big or small. Can you give us just a little tidbit of the background of Father Hemel?
Yes, he's a local person. He's a native from Reserve, Louisiana, and he was ordained a priest in 1987 by Archbishop Philip Hannon. So throughout his 37 years, he's most recently been the pastor of St. Gertrude Church in Des Almonds, and that's the one that's about to merge with St. John the Baptist Parish in Parity, and he'll be going to a new parish.
Wow. Lisa, who would you recommend attend the Magnificat Metairie breakfast? Because there are so many breakfasts that we talk about throughout the year that you guys host, but particularly this one, especially as we are halfway through our Lenten journey.
I think he's going to be talking about just that, like not just that this Lent, this is what he faces, but we've all had Lents where we have faced incredibly difficult things. And I think that it really is for young women and their parents and their mothers. I mean, men are invited as well. But I really think it's mostly a ministry to women, and I really think young women to old, because young women need to see priests up close and personal and get to know their nature and their call that the Lord has on their life. And older women would want to get to know him because he's in and among us all the time in Magnificat, and they would have access to him for advice, for prayer, for guidance. And so he's just a really solid priest that will give a wonderful testimony.
I want to kind of mention Magnificat because this is the first chapter of many chapters across the United States that has formed within the city of New Orleans. Talk about what this means to you, Lisa. You've been joining us for such a long time.
I am so honored to be the coordinator of this mother chapter founded by Marilyn Quirk and a couple of other women more than 40 years ago. And Gabby, we're not just in the United States, we're around the world. I went to the international conference last October in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I met Magnificat women from Trinidad, Magnificat women from Poland. I met people all over the world, but this is what the Holy Spirit blessing and moving in a ministry does. He spread this worldwide.
Oh my goodness, amazing. Lisa, we're about to run out of time. One more time, give us those dates, times, how much the tickets are, and where we can purchase them.
Okay, it's Saturday, March 23rd, 9 to noon. The tickets are $27 if you try to register online, and they are $25 if you do it through the mail. I put a flyer on our Facebook page, Magnificat Mother Chapter, and I sent a flyer to you if you would be so kind to post it as well.
Most definitely. Thank you so much, Lisa Winter, coordinator over with the Magnificat Metairie Chapter. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Gabby, I didn't realize men go. I thought this was like only for women. I learned something today.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So you can go and enjoy the full breakfast, which sounds absolutely incredible, before you hear an incredible speech. Talk. Well, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I almost hope he talks before you eat because you may be dozing off by the time he gets up to speak.
Man.
No, I'm kidding. He's pretty dynamic. Father, emails.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
It sounds like stay with us 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 11th. Today we celebrate St. John Ogilvie. Like many Scottish families in the 1600s, the Ogilvies were partly Catholic and partly Presbyterian. Born around 1579, John was raised as a Calvinist and grew to be especially interested in religious debate. Sent to the continent for further education, he became intrigued by Catholicism, including its history of martyrdom. John was received into the church at age 17. For a time, he studied with the Benedictines, then with the Jesuits. He joined the Jesuits and was ordained a priest in France. After 2 years of pleading, John received permission from his religious superiors to minister among the Catholics in his native land. He secretly entered Scotland, but was frustrated trying to work under such tight restrictions. He left for a while, but returned, this time achieving some success in making converts and serving Scottish Catholics. But he was soon betrayed, arrested, and brought before a court. Despite horrible tortures, he refused to reveal the names of Catholics or to acknowledge the jurisdiction of the monarch in spiritual affairs. John Ogilvie was condemned to death as a traitor and martyred in 1615. He was canonized in 1976. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Almost 19 after the hour. It's Monday. Get up, get going. Gabby Smith, Damian Colano with you this morning to get you up and about. And with us now is our regular Monday morning guest, Alan Migliorato, who is the author of a number of books. His latest, The Amazing Adventures of Bunny and Bear. He is also the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholics. But today, One of the leadership lessons we're going to learn is about the importance of taking time off from work to spend with your family. Good morning, Paizan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy to be here. Hope you had a good weekend.
We did. Spend it with family, as a matter of fact. How about you?
Amen. Yep. Yeah, me too. Actually, my wife was down in Miami, so I was kind of by myself this weekend. But this next weekend, we're going up to my niece's wedding in Wisconsin, and it got me thinking about, you know, wanting to talk about that this weekend this week with us, your listeners, is the importance of really just kind of taking time to take time. You know, and we work so hard. You know, we work very hard for our families, and we work very hard for things, you know, that we want. We even work hard on our faith at times, you know, and it's important for us to take our family time seriously. And that means putting away business at times, you know, and really prioritizing, putting family first, keeping our faith first, really good, having a nice prayer time with our family, even on vacation, you know, showing that, hey, we're on vacation, we might be at the beach, but we're going to go to church on Sunday because that's what we do, and we put God first. But I'm loving our family time.
I think that's a great example. You know, you may not realize it as a parent in a lot of cases, but your children are watching everything you do, everything you say, and they're like sponges at certain ages. And it's important to kind of set the tone, don't you agree?
I do, and it shows not only like through our words, like, okay, guys, family's important, but through our actions. And think back, you guys think back for a second. When you look back at being a kid, you don't really remember how hard your parents worked at things. What you do remember is the times that you went somewhere or the times that you did things together. And you know, really the studies are showing that positive memories impact us longer and deeper than negative ones do. And so it's not like a way to cover up a bad memory, but it shows that, look, we need time for our family, and that might mean that business might suffer. I remember I opened my business. I was working like 7 days a week, and I was like, this is not good. You know, this is like 30 years ago, and I remember my daughter saying, "Dad, Mom, why doesn't Dad go to church with us?" And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that stuck with me so deep. It was like, I got to stop. I'm not working on Sunday anymore. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months later, I stopped working on Saturday. And it's very hard when I own a business. It's very hard to get to the place mentally where I'm ready to say, okay, it doesn't matter what's happening here. I need some family time. So I try to sprinkle that in throughout the year. Like every couple of months, we're going to go camping, you know, or every month or so, we're going to go camping, even for a couple of days. But we're going to make that a priority, and everybody else is going to drop what they're doing. We're all going to drop what we're doing and take that time. And I love that my family has kind of adopted that into their own lives. You know, my daughters are adults now, and my oldest daughter being married, his family is the same way. It's like, we're all going to stop what we're doing, and we're going to take some time for ourselves so we can enjoy one another. Because there's really, what's the point of working so hard for the ones that we love? If we never spend time with the ones that we love, you know, and enjoy what we've done.
Exactly. And, you know, I can't help but think COVID, as messed up as that was, and I'm not a big fan of the whole thing. However, I still try to find the bright spots from it. And I think that was an indirect way of God saying, hey, spend some time with your family. You're not going to be able to go to work. You're not going to be able to go to school. I'm going to put you together whether you want to be or not.
You're forced to.
Yeah, and you think about the experiences that we remember. It's like to go on vacation. One of the things that we would do on vacation is, like, you know, we want to get like a little souvenir, right? So wherever we go, we get like a refrigerator magnet, because it's like such a cheap thing to buy, is a little refrigerator magnet. And I don't want to focus on, you know, we got to see the Statue of Liberty, and we got a 4-foot-tall replica of it to put in our living room. Like, I don't need to spend hundreds of dollars. Or those little pennies that they press, you know, wherever we go, like, you have a penny press. It's a penny plus another 50 cents or a dollar.
Yeah, you spend a dollar to get your penny smashed. That's right. But my son has a collection of those. My son has a collection. And my wife, you know what her thing is? Ink pins.
Ink pens, like, that's awesome.
Really, like, you don't get enough
of those
things.
Ours are ornaments, Christmas ornaments.
Ornaments? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. I can't say I collect a whole lot of anything. How about you, Alan?
I try not to collect anything.
When you said souvenir shop, that is definitely something on our list when we go on vacation. And I don't know if it's a woman's thing or what. As far as us guys, that's just another shopping thing. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what I do get. Everywhere that I've gone to, like, speak at different parishes throughout the United States or do retreats, I'll always go and get a crucifix wherever I'm at. Oh. And I've got a wall of, like, crucifix, different crucifixes all over in my house. And so, like, I had a friend come over the other day who's not a real big believer. He's like, wow, that's a whole lot of Jesus you got on that wall. I was like, man, he's on your wall, too. You just don't see him like I do, but he's there. So, like we have these good conversations, and people are like, oh, where'd you get that one? That's a really unique crucifix. And I'm like, well, it's cool, but Jesus is even cooler, you know? And they're like, I get the eye roll. It's like, yeah. Okay, St. Alan, relax, you know?
Well, but it does give you the opportunity when they're all on the wall like that, it brings back little memories of each and every place you got that crucifix. I like that, to be honest with you. Never heard of it before, but that's a great little collection. What would you recommend? In the final couple minutes, what would you recommend for folks to do to make time? I mean, because it's easy to say, very hard to do.
Well, I would encourage them to look back into their own lives and think about the things that they remember about their childhood. If you really remember how hard your parents worked, then probably don't take a vacation and work hard for your kids and show them what hard work means. But if you truly remember that, you know, that time, family togetherness was something that you really wish you had more of, then really set aside work. No one's going to die. Set aside work for a couple of days, even if you just go overnight somewhere or take a road trip, even if it's camping, like the simpler the better, you know, and just spend some time with your family. Have your kids help plan an event during that time away, and they'll really remember that you trusted them to plan this event from beginning to end. And don't give them, like, you can give some parameters, but don't give them, like, options. Let them plan it. They want a day at the zoo, let them plan the day at the zoo.
That's a good idea. In other words, it doesn't have to be a week's time. It could be just a one afternoon at once or twice a month, right?
Yeah, we go away for like 2 days, like a Friday, Saturday, and we'll come back on Sunday before we go camping. And it doesn't have to be a week or two. If you can't afford to do that, or if it's not something that you can get away from work, go, you know, take a few days here and there. You do it if you know, somebody was coming into town, you wanted to hear talk for your business, you'd take time away, you'd go to a seminar. Schedule time and make time for your family.
Yeah. What about sporting events? Does that count?
Yeah, everything counts. Any family togetherness counts. Have a family game night, right? Where you guys leave work early, maybe you all day Saturday you guys play Monopoly or dominoes or whatever it is that you play together. Even go to a skate park, go to shoot basketball, go fishing, anything just to get away with your family. It can be just during the day. Have lunch together, have a picnic. But make time to have those memories. Your kids are going to remember them, and they're going to, and it builds. It's going to build character, and it's going to build value.
Very good. Okay. Well, Alan, if they want to learn more about what's going on with Adventure Catholic, where do they go?
Check us out, if you'd like, at adventurecatholic.com. Not while you're on vacation, but any other time, you can check us out at adventurecatholic.com.
And last but not least, how's the book coming? The Amazing Adventures of Bunny and Bear. You've got more, because at one point you ran out and you had to reproduce more or get more printed, huh?
Yeah, getting ready to place another order, actually. We're getting ready to place another order. I got about 20 or 30 left of the last order that I placed. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you all are interested in getting those so you don't have to wait a week or so, check out AdventureCatholic.com and you can get your order there.
All righty. Sounds good. A great book for the kids for Easter. Put that in their Easter basket along with all the sweets and whatever else you do. Alan, thank you for being with us. We'll talk to you next week, and safe travels, my friend.
Okay, man. God bless you guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, and Gabby, have you planned a vacation yet or some time with your little one?
Yes, we are planning some trips to the Panhandle this summer, like just for a quick weekend getaway. So we're looking forward to that. So we'll see, we'll see how that goes. But I love that. One of our favorite things to do is, like I said, get Christmas ornaments from the places that we have traveled to and write the date on the back of the Christmas ornament. And every year when we put it out, we're like, remember that time we went to Colorado? Remember that time we went to Disney World? You know, and it brings back all those memories, sparks conversation, and it makes us smile. So it's one of our favorite things.
And one last question. What's the one trip you remember the most as a kid? As a kid, not as an adult.
I would say As a kid, I would say our family trips to Disney World, because my dad is a serious guy, but in Disney World, it's like he's 19 years old. And that was a side of him we have never seen before. And we were just laughing, having a great time. And we would go quite often as kids. And it was just a different side of my dad, and we loved it. And my dad's such a serious guy, you know, and he's kind of loosened up as the grandkids have gotten older and stuff like that. But wow, I would say that is our favorite. That's my favorite as a kid.
Very good.
Those memories.
Well, mine is going to Wrigley Field as a 11-year-old. First Major League Baseball game I ever went to. I was a diehard Cub fan growing up. And my mom was from Chicago, so while we were there with family, I mean, we did everything when we went to Chicago. I mean, it was unbelievable. First time kind of like in a big city outside of New Orleans. So
cool. Anyway,
all right. Well, we have Dr. Tina Holicum coming up next, and we're going to talk about some of the events taking place at FRANU. So stick around. It's 1:30 on Wake Up. Before the top of the hour on this Monday morning, March 11th, and we're marching along in this day and on this show. With us now, Dr. Tina Holland. She is the president at FRANU in Baton Rouge, here to give us an update and tell us all the many events that are going on campus in their centennial year. Good morning, Dr. Holland.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Great. I just wish I was 40 years younger so I could be back at FRANU as a student.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really an exciting week this week. It's celebrating Catholic Higher Education Week, and it starts out with grab-and-go breakfast today. There's a lecture from Dr. Pedraza this afternoon, Divine Mercy Chaplet. We've got rosary, student-led lunch and activities out on the quad outside of St. Francis Hall. There are all kinds of fun student activities, but then there's some serious sort of more academic experiences available. In fact, the bioethics lecture series will host Dr. Charlie Camasi from St. Joseph's in New York. He'll be talking about euthanasia and the throwaway culture on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And then at 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, something that's really interesting is he'll be talking about bioethics for nurses. Because interestingly, the bioethics conversations and research have been pretty much exclusive for physicians and have not involved voices of nurses who, as we know, have firsthand experience in the in patient care. In fact, are the first line for patient care. And so that one will be particularly interesting. So there will be quite a busy week, the entire week, as we celebrate Catholic Higher Education.
Now, the Dr. Charlie Camasi, can anyone go, or strictly for students, alumni, things of that nature?
The public is welcome, as seating is available. Those lectures tend to, they're free, but they do tend to be standing room only sometimes. It depends on how much folks know them, but yeah, certainly. Anybody can come. We like folks to register ahead of time, but I was just looking on our webpage. It doesn't look all that easy to find on the webpage, but if you show up, you can sign in.
Okay, so what time and where do they show up? Because I want to touch on this a little bit more.
Right. Come to the St. Francis Hall atrium Wednesday night before 7 p.m., which is when it'll actually start. Or Thursday morning before 9 a.m., which is when the bioethics for nurses will start.
Yeah, but the euthanasia, we don't talk about that. We as a society in the United States for some reason, and I don't know why, but boy, it's a subject that needs to be addressed. I know with the governor, he's kind of bringing back to the forefront the death penalty, but death is death, and we need to really be informed about these type of things when it comes to possibly getting rid of an elderly person just because they are in pain.
Right. So when we talk about pro-life, of course, and I know David Whitten was on not too long ago.
Right.
You know, when we talk about pro-life, we, for many years, limited it to, you know, opposing abortion. But, you know, younger Catholics in particular, meaning younger than me, and I'm in my young 60s, younger Catholics in particular are looking at the pro-life movement in a much broader sense in terms of reverence and love for life. And that is one of our core values at FRANU. And, you know, so we're talking about from conception all the way into natural death. So, yeah, that's important. And I think that this this lecture is going to be really, really interesting.
Okay. And again, Wednesday evening, just go to FRANU, St. Francis Hall, the big atrium, and get there before 7. Try to get there about 6:30. Yeah, so you can get a seat. If not, you may be standing to watch, but it'd be worth hearing. And I'm glad y'all are bringing that to the forefront. You also are honoring three alumni during an inaugural ceremony that you guys are going to have later on this week.
And yes, we're excited about that. That's the right before the bioethics lecture on Wednesday night. We will be having an inaugural Hall of Distinctions awards ceremony where three of our alumni will be welcomed into this Hall of Distinction. We're really quite proud of these three young people, and you know, it's a way of kind of looking back and seeing how FRANU is sort of a generative and regenerative sort of organization.
Well, you know? Morgan LeBlanc and Acker, and let me see, Morgan LeBlanc Annaker, is she's getting the Rising Star Alumni Award. Then you got Brandon DeVold. He's getting the Shining Star Alumni Award. And Nicole St. Germain, the Distinguished Alumni Award. So is this looks like something you're kicking off and going to make an annual event out of it, right?
That's correct. We used to kind of build that into a luncheon, which then sort of morphed into a fundraiser, and then it became our gala. And now we have found that there are so many friends of FRANU, so many people who want to support the mission of FRANU. We've separated out the gala event and the alumni event so as to have that that real fancy evening event that we had for the celebration of the centennial.
Right.
And then a separate event really dedicated to recognizing the very best of our graduates.
And that should be done that way. I agree.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
That is. They deserve that recognition. You also have the Center for Franciscan Professional Development on campus.
Yes, that is a really neat new development. You know, there are a lot of colleges and universities that are doing non-degreed work to help business and industry develop its workers. But, you know, FRANU has a special niche in doing this in that we have a specialty in healthcare and healthcare-related education, but also because we do it in a Franciscan way.
Mm-hmm.
That is that we, you know, customize the way that we educate. And the reason we customize is that we meet people where they are. That is a uniquely Franciscan educational model. So while we are adjusting to the needs of the community, which is part of our mission, we are advancing the Franciscan educational mission of FRANU, but in a non-traditional way by addressing the needs of employers and employer organizations who, you know, because of demographics, the smaller birth rates and fewer younger people entering into the workforce.
Yeah.
We have to educate those who are already in the workforce and who are in the workforce for longer periods of time now, right?
Yeah.
Because retirement ages have gone up. So we have to, as job demands change, as professional requirements change while people are already working, they've got to stay current in the way their industries are changing, especially at the rate at which healthcare is changing. No longer are you in a job and you keep doing the same thing forever and ever until you retire.
That's right. Because guess what? 70 is the new 50. That's what I always say.
Cheers.
Dr.
Tina. Employers are in desperate need.
No, they're in desperate need. We're kind of joking, but that's why the retirement age is being extended, too. We're running out of time. Don't forget the FranU Centennial Family Picnic, March 23rd. It's 45 after the hour.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto. David Dawson is here, but he's running the board for Jeff Blackwell, who is on a much-needed time off.
Hey, we were talking about time off. Week. He took time off.
Yes, he did.
He practices what we preach.
He understood the assignment. So, yeah, we'll hear from Jeff next week. So Dave will be running the board. Dave's been doing such a great job. Thanks, Dave. Getting our next guest, Mary Jane Zuzzolo joins us. She's a Catholic author, and today she's talking about her new Lenten book, The Sixth Station. Good morning, Mary Jane. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Okay, we are over halfway through Lent, which is, I wasn't even counting, but it shocked me over the weekend. I was like, oh, wow, we're here. Okay, time is, we're moving on. So let's tell us about this book, The Sixth Station, because it really kind of dives deeper into the Holy Face devotion, which we've talked about before, but it's good to have a refresher. So take us through your book, The Sixth Station.
Oh, sure. Well, and it is a Lenten book, but it's also, or throughout the year, the kind of the Lenten tie, I think, obviously, is that we're talking about the wounded face of Christ in the Holy Face devotion, and kind of a jumping off point is Veronica's compassionate and brave act of consoling Christ's face on his way to Calvary during his passion. And, she's commemorated as Veronica, meaning true icon, because Christ, in recompense for this action of consolation, left on her veil the true likeness of his face. And in many respects, this is kind of at the heart of the message of the devotion, that Christ is seeking Veronica, as he says in the revelations or the messages that were given to the young Carmelite nun in the mid-19th century, to console his face, which has been wounded anew by current blasphemies. And these are any affronts against the first three commandments, you know, whether it's taking the Lord's name in vain or not holding sacred the Sabbath, to communism and modernism, which have, very anti-God principles and, any ideology that attempts to remove the authority of God and place it with kind of the mere contrivings of men.
And we've been seeing that quite often these days, especially with the world at our fingertips. So talk about how the Holy Face devotion can really get us through to God and have that strengthened relationship, but also as we near that time where we reflect through Good Friday and the Triduum, to kind of take some time to really focus on the Sixth Station and the Holy Face devotion.
Okay, yes, the Holy Face Devotion, I think one of the main reasons I wanted to write this book is, you know, a lot of people might be familiar with the fact that it has become very relevant, sadly, in our times, because a main thrust is to defeat communism. Communism was called out by name in the Revelations, but as I research more and more to write, I realized that it is a deep spirituality, very much in line with that of Saint Therese, who had a profound devotion to the Holy Face. She, the Wounded Holy Face, in particular, she described it as the source of all her piety. And in the Revelations, Saint Therese of Avila, you know, the great reformer of Carmel, did appear to the young seer, Sister Marie de Saint-Pierre, and told her that the devotion would be the honor of Carmel. And I think that this is really all the more astounding in hindsight, because we do have a number of saints in Carmel, even doctors, and yet she didn't say that any of these would be the honor, but the devotion. And I think one of the things that she was getting at is that it was very much in line with the whole Carmelite mystical tradition. And so I think that, you know, this spirituality of atonement, of co-redemption, of reparation, you know, this really does tie in with the mindset that we hope to have, especially during Lent and the Triduum. And so, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
It does. And you tie in some of my favorite saints, one in particular, Saint Joan of Arc, and her dedication to the Holy Face devotion. You know, I wasn't familiar with a lot of these saints knowing about this devotion, but also spreading its message as well, and something that is so profound still to this day. How did you go about really kind of putting this book together, and what was your inspiration behind it?
It definitely was you know, just kind of a series of progressions, and one thing led to another. I did initially know about the devotion during a time when it was in seeming obscurity. You know, the first 70 years or so, it was enormously popular, probably tying in with some of the miracles that were worked by Venerable DuPont using the devotion in a relic of the Holy Face image of Veronica. But Christ warned in the Revelations that Satan would do everything in his power to stamp out the devotion. And sadly, I think he may have, because the last 70 years, except for maybe the last 2 years, it's just sort of exploded on the internet. But for many years, it had just fallen by the wayside, you might say, and had been neglected. And I think that we are experiencing maybe some of the consequences of that neglect. But I did know about it in my youth, because it just so happens that Sister Marie de Saint-Pierre is my great-great-great aunt. And so, you know, kind of a household name growing up.
Wow.
But we weren't aware of the great writings on the devotion, the early writings, until after my grandfather passed away, and we found some of those. In fact, there in New Orleans, the Carmelites had inscribed the English tradition of her first biography, yes, to him, and he, it was translated from the French, and they were really instrumental in keeping the lines of communication open with my great-great-grandfather, who was the eldest brother of Sister Marie de Saint-Pierre.
Oh my goodness. I mean, the city surprised me. First Mother Cabrini and now this. I mean, incredible. What? There's so much more to unpack. Mary Jane Zuzzolo joins us. She's a Catholic author, and we're talking about her book, The Sixth Station. Mary Jane, where can we pick up our own copy?
Sure. It's published through Sophia Institute Press. So you can go to the website. I believe it's SophiaInstitute.com, or I have a website, HolyFaceDevotion.org, and it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, all those places as well, and it actually will be released March 19th, so just in another week or so.
Wonderful, and support your local Catholic bookstore. We have so many in our listening area. Mary Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm going to delve into the Holy Face devotion. Not really that familiar with it. It's a good guest to have. Bring that to the forefront. Okay. Yeah. Well, this hour is over with, but the day's just getting started. And we thank you all for joining us and watching on WLAE and Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. And we're going to wrap up with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. As we prepare for the approaching Easter, help purify us of all egoism, sensuality, vanity, and pride, so that we can accept your love with an open heart, dear Jesus. With the grace of God, may we have a loving heart in the midst of trials. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Thank you so much, David Dawson, our interim audio director, temporarily. Right, for next week.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for you, Dave.
Jack
it's a great
of all
show
trades.
Today. Karen Cotton, our video technical director tomorrow. Claire Willis joins us in the Diocese of Baton Rouge Catholic Schools. She'll update us. Julia Wade, Catholic author, talks about St. Joseph's Workshop. And Jeff Dunbar, board member over at Woman's New Life Clinic, will talk about why he supports this wonderful apostolate. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.